The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. It is the 4 o'clock hour. Although my clock on the wall says it's 10:31. No, I still don't have a new clock. It's actually 4:06 and 47 seconds. Hey, welcome to the program. It is a Monday edition, 4 o'clock hour, and I am delighted that you have chosen to spend some time with us this afternoon. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Woke up this morning, checked email, and one of our listeners said, have you seen the investigative report front page in the New York Times over the weekend on Christian health sharing ministries? You know, my immediate response was, no, I have not seen it, but I better look. And here's the reason why it caught my attention. I endorse Christian healthcare ministries, and I have for several years now. And folks, listen to me carefully. I've said this many times on the air, and I don't know how to say it more pointedly, more truthfully. When I choose to accept, to endorse a product, a person, a service, I take that very, very seriously. Now, for all of the years that I did a talk show on Saturday mornings when I was pastoring, I would do no endorsements at all. I was asked constantly, would you endorse this? And I wouldn't do any commercials. I wouldn't do any endorsements. Nope. When I came on full time here back in the year 2000, 20 years ago, I was very, 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 very hesitant to do any of that because I had never had. During the years that I was pastoring, I said, no, that would compromise. No, I can't do it. But this is part of my income now. This is part of my profession. Joy and I have Cross Power Ministries, and I work here at the radio station. I am an employee of Salem Media, WRFD Radio, and this is part of my income. This is the way I support my family, or at least part of it. And I realized, well, it's an honest way to create revenue, all right? Now, what I get paid for endorsements is very, very, very little. And I'm not giving you a sad story. It's just, it's reality. You don't make any money in Christian radio. You just don't. So anyway, I began 20 years ago to cautiously and carefully endorse a few products, services, individuals, and so forth. But I checked them out thoroughly, and I will only endorse it if I believe they are honest, upright, and something that I can, with a good conscience, endorse. I turn down more than I accept, far more than I accept. Now, that brings me to Christian Healthcare Ministries, which I have endorsed now for several years, and I have checked them out top and bottom, front to back, and I've told you on the air they're the oldest, they're the largest, and I have repeatedly over and over and over and over again told you, be careful of the counterfeits. Christian Healthcare Ministries is the original. But now there are dozens of companies, organizations, and so-called ministries that are trying to copy the success of Christian Healthcare Ministries. And they have come up with names that are very close to Christian Healthcare Ministries. If you do a Google search and you type in Christian Healthcare Ministries, it is likely that somebody else is going to show up as your first search. And that's why I keep telling you. All right, I said all that to come to this story in the New York Times. It's a major investigation by the New York Times that was printed on January 2nd. All right? Headline, "It looks like health insurance, but it's not. Just trust God, buyers are told." First sentence, "Some state regulators are scrutinizing nonprofit Christian cost-sharing ministries that enroll Americans struggling to pay for medical care but aren't legally bound to cover their members' claims." And then it gives some anecdotal stories. It begins with 88-year-old Blake Colley, swimming pool. He got a frightening headache and so on. Had a whole bunch of tests, treatments. His family did not have traditional health insurance. "We couldn't afford it," said his father. Instead, they paid about $530 a month for a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So on and so on. The group capped payments for members at 20. The end of the story is this family got taken to the cleaners by this Christian health care sharing ministry. They didn't do what they told the family they would do, and this family ended up with thousands of dollars of bills unpaid. And then, through the four pages, there is warning after warning after warning. For instance, quote, "Nothing is guaranteed," said Dr. Carolyn McClanahan, a physician who is also a financial planner in Jacksonville, Florida. "You have to depend on the largesse of the program." And then here is something that's just false in the New York Times report, which is not unusual. It says, quote, "The main requirement for membership is to adhere to a Christian lifestyle. And the alternative sharing plans keep flourishing, especially now that the Trump administration has relaxed rules to permit alternatives to the ACA. That's not true. When the Affordable Care Act was originally passed by the Trump administration, or not Trump, the Obama administration, there was an exception in the law to Christian sharing ministries like Christian healthcare ministries. So not the Trump, Obama made the exception. Now that's one thing that is just incorrect in this New York Times story. Anyway, to get to the point, there are several really sad stories in this New York Times article about these Christian health care sharing ministries that did not do what they said they would do. There are several illustrations of states, individual states that are suing this company, that company. There are instances of companies being forbidden to operate in several states across America. Here's the bottom line. Most of the large Christian health sharing ministries are mentioned in this article by the New York Times in a negative way. Here is the one that is not mentioned at all in this New York Times article. Christian healthcare ministries. The largest, the oldest, is not mentioned at all. And here is my personal belief. The reason they are not mentioned, almost every other one is, if you've heard them advertised, and I'm not going to give you the names of them. There's another one here in Ohio that's getting very big. There are others of these ministries that you hear advertised on radio constantly. Christian Healthcare Ministries is not mentioned in this article, and here's why I believe it is not. The article is a hit piece trying to discourage people from going to the alternative to health insurance. And they did not mention Christian Healthcare Ministries because they could not dig up any dirt whatsoever. Now, they did on all the others. And that's why, if you when we come to the commercials and so forth, you will hear me say, folks, be careful of the counterfeits. Well, this New York Times article is the reason why I warn you. Most of the major Christian health sharing ministries that are active today are mentioned in this New York Times article in a negative way. The one that is not at all is the biggest. Isn't that bizarre? If they're going to do an expose, an investigative report on these Christian cost-sharing ministries, don't you think they would at least mention the largest and the oldest? No, because they couldn't find any dirt whatsoever on Christian health care ministries. So that's why you've got to be careful. Check out the article. It's from the New York Times. The headline, "It Looks Like Health Insurance, But It's Not." It will give you lots of reasons why I warn you about the others, the counterfeits. Be careful. Be cautious. Be an LTD. All right, we'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, gone are the days when Democrats and Republicans would rally together when there was an international crisis. No. Do you remember when Obama got Osama bin Laden? Remember that? Republicans rejoiced. Republicans commended. This Qassem Soleimani, from what I can gather, was as bad or worse than Osama bin Laden. And yet, when he is taken out, because it happened under Trump's watch, it is disturbing. It is to be condemned. The liberal left in America, this is my opinion, really cares little about America. They care far more about the next election and power. It's all about power. It's not about what's good for America. It's not patriotism. It's all about power. Now, there's a lot of controversy about whether this was a justified attack when the U.S., under Trump's order, took out this Soleimani. But I think the most informative article that I have found in trying to get to the bottom of this is from Reuters. Now, Reuters is not far right, not far left. Reuters News Agency is one of the more balanced agencies out there. And one thing is for sure, they're not pro-Republican. They're not certainly not far right. But today, Reuters has published a story inside the plot by Iran Soleimani to attack U.S. forces in Iraq. And it's a compilation of several Reuters staff members looking into this. And it's very, very eye-opening. Let me quote just some portions of this story from Reuters. It begins, "In mid-October, Iranian Major General Qassem Soleimani met with his Iraqi Shiite militia allies at a villa on the banks of the Tigris River, looking across at the U.S. Embassy complex in Baghdad. The Revolutionary Guards commander instructed his top ally in Iraq, Abu Mahdi Mohandas, and other powerful militia leaders to step up attacks on U.S. targets in the country using sophisticated new weapons provided by Iran. Two militia commanders and two security sources briefed on the gatherings told Reuters. So in other words, the source of this story by Reuters is, quote, two militia commanders and two security sources within the Iranian military. I think that's very, very important. Let me skip ahead just a little bit. Soleimani's plans to attack U.S. forces aim to provoke a military response that would redirect that rising anger toward the United States, according to the sources briefed on the gathering. Iraq Shiite politicians and government officials close to Iraqi Prime Minister Adel Abdul Mahdi. So in other words, this guy that the U.S. took out back in October began meeting and making plans to attack American embassies, American military, and American citizens with the purpose of increasing the military response by the United States to turn more public resentment in Iran and Iraq against the United States. Quote, 2 weeks before the October meeting, Soleimani ordered Iranian Revolutionary Guards to move more sophisticated weapons, such as Katyusha rockets and shoulder-fired missiles that could bring down helicopters, to Iraq through two border crossings, the militia commanders and Iraq security forces told Reuters. At the Baghdad villa, Soleimani told the assembled commanders to form a new militia group of low-profile paramilitaries unknown to the United States who could carry out rocket attacks on Americans housed at Iraqi military bases. He ordered Kataib Hezbollah, a force founded by Mohandas and trained in Iran, to redirect the new plan, said the militia sources briefed on the meetings. Soleimani told such a group would be difficult to detect by the Americans, one of the militia sources told Reuters. Before the attacks, the U.S. intelligence community had reason to believe that Soleimani was involved in late-stage planning to strike Americans in multiple countries, including Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. U.S. officials told Reuters Friday on condition of anonymity. One senior U.S. official said Soleimani had supplied advanced weaponry to Kataib Hezbollah. And then the story goes on for 12 pages with very, very convincing evidence that this guy was in the late stages of planning massive attacks on American military sites and American citizens. If this is true, the attack that Donald Trump authorized may have saved the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of American lives. And that's from Reuters. All right, we'll be back.